seventh case, the United States v. Woods.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Mr. Donovan.
May it please the court and please opposing counsel. I'm attorney Chris Donovan, and I have the privilege of representing Stephen Woods on this appeal. If the plain language of the controlling statute in this case, which is 18 U.S.C. 3583 sub E, means anything, and if this court's clear prior case law precedent saying an armed career criminal enhancement is not an offense but an enhancement means anything, then Stephen Woods should have only been subjected to 2 years upon revocation instead of five. I'd like to start by talking first with the statute. The statute lays out the maximum terms of imprisonment upon revocation. And the statute says the offense that resulted in a term of supervised release. It does not say the offense plus all applicable enhancements or anything along those lines. It clearly references the offense. And so if you keep in mind that this court has said armed career criminal is not a standalone offense and it's consistently referenced as an enhancement, then I believe it's clear that the only meaning offense can have is an underlying substantive offense. And the underlying substantive offense in this case was felon in possession of a firearm, which is punishable by up to 10 years, which means that it's a Class D felony, and there should only be 2 years available for revocation. And we know that Congress can say what it means when it wants to and lay out specifics for supervised release. For example, in the 841 section drug cases under 21 U.S.C., the Congress does lay out terms of supervised release that are available for those enhanced drug sentences. In this case, 924E nowhere mentions the term of supervised release. You can only find that and get any direction by looking at section 3583 sub E. And so I think that's why that's the controlling statute. I think that's the plain language that we have to look at.
Well, haven't other circuits decided this very issue? And haven't they decided it pretty uniformly against you?
Well, I'm only aware of two circuits. Again, this is what the government cited in their brief. I would like to point out that the first case that was cited was Powell, and this is from the Third Circuit. And I don't read Powell saying the proposition the government cites it for. Now, Miles, I acknowledge, does find that it should be a five-year maximum, but I think Miles wasn't entirely correct. I mean, Miles is correct when it says 922 doesn't create any of its own penalties, and you have to reference then 924 for the original term of imprisonment. But again, 924 by itself does not lay out any possible term or direction on supervised release.
How about Staggs in the Eighth Circuit? Is that again? Does that cover this point?
I am not aware of that case. I don't believe that was cited by the government. Again, so I think where Miles kind of has a disconnect, which is Miles is in the Fifth Circuit. The disconnect is it's correct that you have to reference 924 for the initial term of confinement, but you can't reference 924 for the term of supervised release. To do that, you have to go to 3583. And so when 3583 says offense that resulted in a term of supervised release, that can only mean the underlying substantive offense. When statutory language is clear, judicial inquiry should end. This court should give effect to the actual word and text of the statute. And because that's the course that should be taken, I urge this court not to read into 3583 language that's just simply not there. And I think it is a plain error. I mean, the government basically conceded that if this court does find that he was sentenced in excess of the amount allowed by law, that it would be a plain error that should be corrected by this court and should be, I believe, remanded for a new sentencing to comply with the statutory maximum. So I wanted to touch upon that just a little bit. That really completes what I want to point out and what I want to emphasize that I had already submitted in my briefs. I think this is a plain language argument, and I think if this court is going to abide by its precedent saying armed career criminal is not an offense, it has to find there's only 2 years available and not five.
All right. Thank you, Donovan. Mr. Alexander.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Keith Alexander and I represent the United States. The one issue here is whether a conviction for possession of a firearm while being an armed career criminal is a Class A felony or a Class C felony. Section 3559 is the pertinent statute that defines the classification of felonies. It provides that if the maximum term of imprisonment authorized is life imprisonment, then it's a Class A felony. If it's less than 25 years, it's a Class C felony. The maximum term of imprisonment authorized here for being a felon in possession of a firearm as an armed career criminal is life in prison. Accordingly, it's plainly a Class A felony, as other circuits have found. Section 3583 provides that the maximum term of imprisonment upon a revocation of supervised release of a Class A felony is 5 years, which is exactly what the district court sentenced the defendant to here. Accordingly, the district court did not err. Section 3583E begs the question. The defense points out that that's the pertinent statute, and it is, but it begs the question as to what a Class A felony is. And in that regard, the court needs to look to Section 3559. And so, unless the court has any other questions, the United States requests that the court affirm the sentence imposed by the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. Mr. Donovan?
Thank you, Your Honors. A couple points I'd like to make. Again, the emphasis on 3559 is not correct that the government's arguing. The emphasis needs to be on 3583. Indeed, Section 924, again, doesn't reference any sort of supervised release term. And so the court doesn't even have to give a supervised release term when the statute is silent. And so, again, the only guidance or direction that a court has for an armed career criminal case comes from 3583 sub E. That's what A, lays out the factors that a court should consider, whether even to impose a term, B, then what conditions of the supervised release should be, and then ultimately C, how long it can be for. And then, again, when it gets to sub E, it gets to upon revocation, what's the maximum. So, opposing counsel is correct that 3559 has to be referenced, but it has to be referenced for the offense of conviction, which, again, in this case, the offense that resulted in a term of supervised release, which, again, in this case would be felon in possession.
So you would just subtract out the what happened since then, where he becomes an armed career criminal and all that. That you just would go back up to what was the original, what was it, what was the class? Tell me again, the original conviction.
Well, I would say that the...
What was the original conviction?
The original conviction was a Class A, because the original conviction did have a maximum of life imprisonment, and 924E, the Armed Career Criminal Statute, does specifically reference terms of imprisonment. So I think at that point it is a Class A. I would concede that. But upon the point where he's facing revocation, and upon the point where then the court has to decide how much time is available upon revocation, that has to come from 3583. And again, 3583 says the offense that resulted in a term of supervised release. It doesn't say offense plus all applicable enhancements. It doesn't say anything along those lines. So when you read that plain language and give effect to it, the only offense that can reference is the underlying substantive offense. And of course, this makes sense because there are probably thousands of people on the street that could be considered an armed career criminal because they have these three prior predicate offenses that qualify them for enhanced penalties. But you don't go out and arrest them and prosecute them just for being an armed career criminal. They only are enhanced and face higher penalties once they're in court for a substantive crime, like felon in possession of a firearm. That's when then the court says, okay, for this smaller subsection of people, an enhanced penalty has to be imposed.
What was he convicted of while he was out on supervised release?
He was convicted of drug crimes in state court in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't concede that there shouldn't have been revocation. We also don't concede, contest necessarily the reasonableness of the sentence. Again, this is just a very clear, plain language argument where we believe he was sentenced for 3 years in excess of what is allowed for by law. If there's no other questions, I guess I hit most of the points I wanted to hit and said what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Mr. Donovan. Our thanks to both counsel. Mr. Donovan, you have additional thanks to the court for accepting this appointment. We look forward to seeing you in court again.